In Psalm 72, it says, "Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous things. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory." And that's our prayer. We want the whole earth. We want hold of Fressingfield. We want our lives to be filled with his glory, to know him as he is. We're come to worship him. Let's do that as we sing our first song, or sing along, or listen along with it. It's a brilliant song, In Christ Alone. You know it well. Enjoy it, and let's worship the Lord through it.
Cornerstone, this solid ground, firm strength.
super song. Let's pray together then, and as we continue in worship. Father, we thank you that we can come to you, the sovereign, glorious, almighty God, through Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord, our leader, our teacher. We thank you that we come to you, and it's only in him, only through what he's done, only through who he is, that we dare to come, because we know that we're not perfect. We know we're not what we ought to be. And we confess then our sins. We confess to you the time when, as we've said before, we're coloured outside of the lines, where we've gone and done things or said things or thought things that we ought not to have done. We thank you that all of those things are covered over, cleansed and erased by Jesus and his grace and his mercy. Thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful way of salvation. And we come as your people to worship you, our God, through him, to worship our Saviour. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to help us do that. And especially we need your help when we're doing this in our own homes and we're not together in the physical sense. We need your help. Please, dear Holy Spirit, put us in a mind where we'll worship in spirit and truth today. And if there are those who are logged in with us or watch online afterwards that don't know you in this personal, intimate way, I pray for them and ask that, Father, that you'll reveal yourself to them, that they might have the peace and the joy that comes to us through Jesus as well. Hear us then, receive our worship today in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we're going to change the tone, change the volume, change the speed of things as we move into the middle part of our service this morning, where we just come for devotions and we come to listen and we come to talk to God ourselves. And a song to take us into that. That's a lovely song. Lots of you know it's just one of my favourites, based from the Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. And it asks the question, is he worthy? Let's come for the last part this morning to look at God's word. Let's hear him speak to us now. This is the important part, isn't it? It's wonderful to be able to share fellowship together, connect together in prayer and songs and that. We want to hear God speak to us. Well, how's he going to help us this morning? So time to pick up our Bibles, and Emma is going to read to us this morning. Guys, folks, you need to be turning to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 this morning, and Emma is going to read to us from verse 19 to 31. Thanks, Emma.
John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wounds in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, Son of God, and that by believing in him you will have life by the power of his name.
Lovely. Thanks, Emma. That's the passage we're going to look at this morning. Thinking about Thomas in particular, and under the title of Dealing with Our Doubts. Dealing with Doubts. And we've got a picture here of a guy you can just see is in turmoil. He's got his head in his hands, kind of thinking, what is going on here? And Thomas is the archetypal doubter. He's known as Doubting Thomas, which I think is a little bit tough on him, really. I think he gets a bad reputation, a bad rap for how he was. You know, if we'd have looked through, Thomas was not the only one that doubted the resurrection of Jesus. He was not the only one. They all struggled with it. None of them believed it. They didn't believe the report from the women when they came. And if you tie the other gospels in with John's account here, when Jesus appeared to them in the upper room, they were terrified. They didn't expect to see Jesus. They struggled to believe it. None of the disciples believed it. They were all doubters in a very real sense. But Thomas, because he wasn't there, it took him a week to get that convincing evidence and proof of Jesus that he needed. You see, Thomas, he was, when he expressed, unless I see him with my hands, he was just being who he was. He wasn't a bad man. Thomas was one of the disciples, one of the 12 apostles that Jesus had chosen. And he was a man fully dedicated, fully devoted to Jesus. Interesting little snippet before the crucifixion of Jesus. When Jesus had first said that he was going to Jerusalem, the disciples, to a man, tried to persuade him not to go. They said, well, look, it's ridiculous. You go to Jerusalem and you're going to be killed there. They hate you. They will kill you. And he said, no, I've got to go. I'm going to Jerusalem. And, you know, the one that stuck up for Jesus was our man Thomas. And Thomas said something like this. He said, let's go with him. If he's going to go to Jerusalem, then let's go so that we can die with him. And you think about that. That's quite a thing, isn't it? Let's go so we can die with him. Thomas was devoted to Jesus, and he was willing to die for him. That tells us something of the man's conviction and faith. He was a man also of questions. He wasn't somebody who just took things for what other people said. When Jesus, the night before he was betrayed and arrested and then crucified, was talking to his disciples, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you will be also. And it was Thomas who stopped him and said, but Jesus, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus replied to him, I am the way, the truth and the life. That famous saying from Jesus. And it was Thomas. It wasn't that he didn't believe it. He just didn't know. And he wanted clarification. It tells us something about the way that Thomas, his mind worked. He was a man who was fully devoted, trusted Jesus, loved Jesus, willing to die for him, believes in Jesus completely. But on the other hand, he's a man who had all these questions that he wanted to have answered. He wasn't just going to take it from someone else. And, you know, Thomas, I think, is not unlike a lot of people today. People in church as well. They're not bad people, but people who have questions, they have genuine questions, genuine trouble understanding what God is allowing or doing in their lives. If truth be told, probably most of us have sat where Thomas was sitting on that day. Most of us have been in that time where we say, I just don't understand it. I need a bit more. I need to hear him. I need to see him. I need something. It's not that we don't believe, but we just need something to help us. And that's what I want to deal with the time that we've got left this morning. I've got several ways down, several ways in which we see in the Bible God deals with people with questions and people with doubts for different reasons. I've got six. Whether we'll get through all of those this morning, I don't know. But I want to encourage us that it's not wrong to doubt. It's not wrong to ask questions. When I say it's not wrong to doubt, what I mean is not that it's not, it's okay to doubt the reality of God and those kind of things. We need to be, you know, comfortable with that. But it's a question of always questioning what God is doing and questioning the ways of God. And if we do that in a sense that God is wrong, then we're in trouble. But if it's honest questions, that's perfectly legitimate. And we see that everywhere in the Bible where people didn't understand and they ask why. The Psalms are full of people say, oh, how long, O Lord? What are you doing? Why, O Lord? Will you leave me here forever? Will the enemies always win? People, you know, questioning God, believing in him, trusting him, saying you're right, you're God, but I don't understand you. And I think Thomas is a man here who believed in Jesus. He trusted him, but he couldn't understand what was going on. And he said, I need a bit more. And it's legitimate for us to ask, God, I could do with some help here. I'm struggling with what's going on. And so I want us this morning just to go through and see the ways in which in the Bible God helps people and he addresses the times when they're in doubt. Different states of heart that we find ourselves in. So the first thing this morning to say is this, that I want to talk about the wounded heart. And this is where Thomas comes in, I think, that a wounded heart often needs love. Somebody with a wounded heart, somebody who's been hurt, what they need is love. See, Thomas loved Jesus enough to say, I'll die for him. His heart was broken, I think, when Jesus died on the cross. He hadn't expected it. It hadn't been what he'd signed up for, and he thought that Jesus was going to be the Messiah and drive out the Romans and all the rest of it. He dedicated himself. He'd given up his life in many respects to Jesus. And I think that's why he wasn't there that Sunday. I think it could well be why he wasn't there. The people of Thomas's, he was a pessimist, really. And often pessimists and those who are more melancholic in nature, when they're hurt, they tend to withdraw into themselves. They don't want company. They don't want to be with people. They'll go by themselves to be alone. And I think that's probably what Thomas was doing. Result of that, of course, was that he missed out on the blessing. He spent another week wondering and needing proof that Jesus was really raised from the dead. But his heart was hurting. What did Jesus do? When Jesus appeared the next week, the passage that we read here in John 20, he didn't scold Thomas. He didn't tell Thomas off. He said, Thomas, come and just look at my hand. Look, here it is. Look, Thomas, have a look. Here's my side. You can see it. Thomas, you don't need to be doubting anymore. It's really me. Just believe. He didn't scold Thomas. He didn't tell him off. He loved Jesus. He loved Thomas. And he did what Thomas most needed. It would have been easy for him to have told him off. It would have been easy for him to rebuke him or scold him. To say he couldn't be part of it, if he's going to question things like that, I need people better than that. But he doesn't do any. He said, just have a look, Thomas. He understood where Thomas was and what he was feeling. And there are a lot of people in the world today who have genuine questions like Thomas. They need a little bit more. And we won't help them if we scold them, if we tell them off and tell them not to be so silly. It's so obvious. And there's people in church like that as well. Good people. People who love Jesus, brothers and sisters, and some of us in our church here, we might feel this at times. It's not any good being told off, is it? Sometimes you just need loving and you just need to say, come on, come a little bit closer, have a deeper look. And wounded hearts, people who are hurting, they need love. People who are hurting because of the circumstances in life, the things that are happening around them, things that are happening to them. They don't usually need scolding. They don't usually need to told to be pull themselves together. They usually need loving. And Jesus loves us. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. A broken reed I will not snuff out, he says. Lovely side of Jesus' character. Gentle with those who are struggling. Great example for us as well as we try to help other people. Just be gentle, be understanding. Give them time. Wounded hearts need loving. Second kind of heart, those who are slow of heart. Luke chapter 24, time this morning to tell the whole story, but that was also an account in Luke's gospel of some events the day that Jesus came back to life. Two people were walking away from Jerusalem, going back to their home in the town of Emmaus. And they're deeply sorrowful. They're deeply sad. They're upset because they too had been believers in Jesus. They had hoped that Jesus was going to be the Messiah. They're deeply disappointed then, the way things had turned out, that Jesus had been arrested and killed. And they're going along and they're talking to each other about how they'd hoped it would be different. And suddenly a stranger came alongside them and asked them what they were talking about, where they were going from, where they were going to. And it turns out that that stranger was Jesus, the risen Jesus, came to them and walked with them. And it tells us in Luke, or Luke tells us that as he went along, he opened up the scriptures to them and showed them how from Moses and all of the whole of the Old Testament was pointing forward to Jesus and had predicted that Jesus would die and would come back to life again. He taught them. So Jesus, on that occasion, he taught those who were slow of heart. And he says, oh, you who are slow of heart. That's how he talks to them. And he opened up the Bible. He taught them. And very often we struggle. Some of our doubts and our questions come because we don't understand things. They hadn't understood the Old Testament. And so very often our doubts and our questions and our perplexities come because we don't understand. Because sometimes we're slow to believe and receive the promises and the teachings of the Bible. And often the answer to that, again, is not being told off. It's not rebuking, not told, put yourself together, not being told, but it's obvious, isn't it? It's patient teaching. Have a look at the Bible. And that's why it's so valuable for us to come together on Sundays, to have these times together where I or others will open up the Word of God. It's why it's great to spend some time in life groups where we can go through together and ask the questions. I'm very aware on this kind of format where it's me talking, basically me talking to you, God talking to you through me. It doesn't allow for you to say, but Stuart, hang on, I don't understand that bit. Can you elaborate a bit more? Life groups give us that opportunity to go a little bit deeper, to say, well, actually, I'm not following that bit. Can we explain that? Can we dig into it a little bit more? It's that teaching thing. And often our questions will be answered and our doubts and our fears and our uncertainties will come, will be answered and resolved by learning the scriptures. We need to apply the Bible to our everyday lives. So do keep coming along on Sundays. Join up with one of the life groups if you're not part of it. Or for your own study, get something like an application Bible or a study Bible. What that has, it has the words of scripture, but it also has little, either at the bottom of the page or down the side, little notes that explain what the passage is about. It will help you understand the Bible as you read it through. So sometimes our questions are because we don't understand and we just need teaching. The third group of people, those we might call the troubled heart, with the things that are going on. And sometimes those troubled hearts just need praying for. It's where we can all join in with each other. Quoted to you, the reference there was John chapter 17. If you know your Bibles, you will know that that was the bit just before Jesus was arrested. So immediately before he was arrested. And he's spending time with his disciples. And it's that passage where he says to the disciples, I'm leaving you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then he goes on and he teaches them. And he spends an evening just trying to reassure them and teach them. But that first bit, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Their hearts were troubled because Jesus was talking about leaving. They talk about going away and they're troubled in their hearts. So he teaches them, but then he does something else. Having spent the evening teaching them, he leaves with them and goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays there. And his prayer, part of that prayer is recorded for us by John. And part of that prayer is praying for these disciples. And he says, Father, I pray for them, those who you've given me, I pray for them. And he prays for these people who are struggling to accept what he's saying. So he's not only teaching, but he prays for them as well. Thomas that said, Lord, I don't know where you're going. How? And he's just showing this sense of perplexity, bewilderment, really. And Jesus goes off and prays for them. One of the great things that we can do for those who are struggling, those who are perplexed at the things going on in their lives, is to pray for them. It's a wonderful ministry. I want to encourage us as a church just to keep on praying for one another. I love the times on Sunday mornings, times on Thursday evenings, times in life group where we pray for one another. We had a lovely time. I was with Grasmus and Sinead on Thursday evening in their life group. And as we went through, it was clear that one of the group was just going through a really tough time, and we stopped, and it was precious to be able to pray together. Those of you who are part of the group, you'll know that was a precious time just to be able to pause and pray. It's one of the great things that we can do, and we bring God into it, and it shows our heart of love and care. We're encouraged to keep praying for one another. Do that again, good reason to join a life group, to come along to the prayer meetings that we have, and I'm so glad that so many of you do. It's a wonderful ministry. Keep praying for each other. When you see each other, when you're out, you bump into each other, as we're increasingly hopefully going to do now as lockdown lifts, you know, don't be afraid just to stand where you are. And when we can get within a distance, put a hand on a shoulder, put a hand, or if you're comfortable with it, just hold a hand or just pray. You don't have to touch, but there is something about touching each other, laying of hands. But it's that praying with each other. Pray for each other. You don't have to do a long and eloquent prayer, but that it becomes the benefit of the praying is that it's more than a human kind of understanding. It's one thing to say, yeah, I feel for you. But when we pray for somebody, it's more likely to bring God's grace, God's help, God's strength, God's comfort and consolation to them. So encourage, pray as Jesus did for these troubled disciples. Do take time to pray in person, or even, you know, when you're not with the person, pray for them. Another occasion, what have we got? We've got a few minutes left. I'll give you one more. I think we'll do 1 Kings chapter 19. And what we've got here is a faint heart. And sometimes those who are faint in heart, they just need refreshing. And the incident in the Old Testament book of Kings, chapter 19, is the prophet Elijah. Now, Elijah was one of the great characters of the Old Testament. Wonderful prophet and a man of full of faith. But there was a particular time in his life recorded in chapter 19 of King, 1 Kings, where it had probably the pinnacle of his ministry. He'd been on a mountain, Mount Carmel, and God had done a wonderful miracle, had answered his prayers incredibly. We would just be wowed. We'd think, you know, we're ready to go to heaven if something happened to us like it had happened to Elijah on Carmel. God answered prayer in a remarkable way. You know, within hours of that, Elijah is running. And he runs for about 24 hours and he's utterly exhausted. He runs because he fears for his life, and the victory is soon forgotten, and he just feels utterly desolate, completely alone. And he says to God, he eventually stops and he lays down under a bush and he says, God, I just want to die. I'm here by myself. I'm all alone. There's nobody that's with me. Nobody that stands up. I haven't got any friends. It wasn't true. Of course, he'd got loads of friends. There were loads of people that were on his side. But at that moment, he just said, God, I can't carry on. I can't keep doing this. Take my life from me. He was struggling with a faint heart. He'd lost hope, lost his courage. Amazing when you think of who he was and what God had done through him. If it can happen to him, it can happen to the best of people. And sometimes we may feel that our hearts are fainting. You know what God did? He didn't say, come on, Elijah, what are you doing? Pull yourself together, man. Think what has just happened. He gave him sleep. He slept for ages and ages. And then when he eventually woke up, there was a jar of water and some food for him. That was what God gave him. And he got a message from an angel So give yourself something to eat, have some more sleep, get something to drink, and then we'll see what goes on. Simple physical refreshment. I think sometimes we can beat ourselves up unnecessarily. You know, when we're tired, when we're overwrought by things, we are going to struggle spiritually. Sometimes the best thing that we can do is just get some rest, just to take some space to be quiet, to be alone with God, to be sensible, to get some sleep. If you're not sleeping well, then you need to find a way that you can reduce whatever it is, or you can get some help with sleep and just be practical. Go for a long walk. You know, if you need some air and your lungs. And I think part of the whole thing of where we are in lockdown with COVID, it's affected so many people because we've been constrained. And when we get constrained, it builds pressure. And pressure, when it builds up, I showed you the can of Coke that I got. If I opened it, if I shook it, it would have pressure in and it would explode. And so often that's where we feel, because we've been constrained. There's a lot of people that are really struggling because of being the constraints and restraints of lockdown. It's not surprising, and that can affect us spiritually and how we pray and our faith levels. And sometimes it's just take your time and do what's necessary. Don't expect more than you can. The more that's reasonable, and it may well be until lockdown lifts that's where it's going to be. We just need not be too heavy on ourselves, but sometimes a faint heart needs refreshing. And we need to find ways. What will it be for you? You know, it might be that you need to go out for a walk. It might be that you just need to read, listen to some of your favorite music, listen to, you know, put the radio on, listen to some decent Christian music. And, you know, as lockdown lifts, some of the ways that we can be with ourselves, we just need physical refreshing. That's all it is. It's not clever. It's not rocket science. It's not immensely spiritual, but we are physical beings, and whilst we live in these bodies, we will be affected by circumstances. So the other two, I'm not going to go into these today. I'll just, Martin, if we can just show the PowerPoint. I was going to talk about the rebellious heart. Rebellious heart is one that that doubts God and doesn't trust him and won't trust him. A rebellious heart needs confronting. You read in Luke chapter 18 of a rich young ruler who went to Jesus, and Jesus told him what he needed to do to find peace. But he wouldn't listen to Jesus, and he went away sad, it tells us. But Jesus had to confront that young man with the real problem of his heart. Sometimes a rebellious heart needs confronting by Jesus, confronting with the word. Sometimes God's word will challenge us, and we need that. It's not always just, it's not always going for a walk or being prayed for or doing something spiritual. Sometimes we just need practical, come on, stop it. You're being silly. You've got to submit. That's where it needs to be. And the last one is a divided heart. Again, back in 1 Kings, it's Elijah, and he had to call the people. And he said, look, you're just trying to straddle. You're trying to have a foot in both worlds. You need to decide which way you're going to go. Are you with God or are you against him? And sometimes in our lives, sometimes we need that kind of challenge. Are you for him or against him? Get off the fence. And sometimes we just want it both ways. And the word of God in 1 Kings 18 to remind us, sometimes we have to stop trying to put a foot in both worlds. And, you know, either of those two last ones, haven't had time to elaborate on those, but that could be where some of us are this morning. Some of you watching live, or some of you watching online afterwards, that might be where you are. But as we've gone through these different situations and circumstances this morning, the point of this is to say, look, doubts and questions and being perplexed about the ways of God are not necessarily a sign of being unspiritual. It's not a sense of being a bad or anything like that. You don't need to beat yourself up about it. But there are ways that God deals with it. And there's ways in which we can help each other. So pray and trust this morning that it's helped us as we look and think how we can help one another from the word of God. The different things, whether it's praying, whether it's teaching, whether it's giving an arm around the shoulder, whether it's, you know, maybe a challenge or whichever it is. Pray that we'll be, God will help us as we help each other, nurture each other along, as at times there will be times when we struggle and we just need a bit of extra. Or if we're one of those at the end that might need a rebuke or a challenge at times. You know, where are you? Are you for Jesus? Do you really believe in him or not? Sometimes there comes a point where you have to make your mind up. Are you for him or are you against him? Some of you might just be at that point. Are you for him or are you against him? If you're for him and you haven't told me, please let me know. I'd love to know, because some of you I pray for regularly, and I'm praying as I'm getting to know you, and I pray for you and I think, where is that lady? Where is that man? Are they for the Lord or are they against him? I want to know. Do let me know if you've never told anybody. And even better, let everybody know by being baptized, which brings us back to the children, that what we were talking about earlier on. All right, dealing with doubts. God is gentle with us most of the time. Let's be gentle with each other. Let's be loving with each other. Let's be kind with each other. Let's be understanding of the circumstances. And let's be family together, that we will grow with him. God bless you and God bless his word to us today. I'm going to finish with a song which I don't think that many of you know. It's a song by City of Light. It's called Christ is Mine Forevermore. And I've chosen this, although we won't know it well enough to sing along with it. It talks of the perplexities of life. It talks about the difficulties of life. But it comes back to the fact that our faith is in him and we're trusting Jesus to help us. So my prayer is, as we listen and as we watch the words, as we listen to them, that these will minister to our soul and we will find ourselves saying, yeah, but I'm looking forward to the time when I see Jesus. He is my hope and he's the ultimate answer to all my questions and all my fears and all my perplexities. So let's watch and let's enjoy Christ is Mine Forevermore.
Mine are days that God has numbered. I was made to walk with him. Yet I look for worldly treasure and forsake the King of Kings. But mine is open, my Redeemer. Though I fall, his love is sure. For his name.
Father, thank you for the way, the tender way we see Jesus dealing with Thomas and with the disciples as a whole, but with Thomas in particular, the patience you had with him, understanding his nature and his character. Thank you for that example and for the other ways that we've seen this morning and your gentleness and your patience with us. And Father, I would pray this morning for any that are struggling with the way that their life is at the moment, things that you're allowing, things that you're not doing, those who are struggling because of lockdown, struggling with the impacts on their mental health, their physical health, struggling with life as it is. And maybe that's causing them to question your ways in their life. Father, I want to pray, please, would you draw near to them? I would pray that for others who in the privacy of their own home, the privacy of their own heart, maybe because of bereavement, maybe because of anxiety, maybe because of fears for their health, that they are struggling at the moment. Lord, I pray that you will draw near to them, come to them, remind them that their reward is Christ. Remind them of the new body that's coming. Remind them of heaven to look forward to. Help them to hold on by faith. Help us to encourage each other, to love each other, to put a metaphorical arm around each other. Help us to speak well of each other, speak well, kindly, gently to each other, always encouraging. But Lord, where there is, if there's any that are halting between two opinions, who are hesitant to believe, then this morning I pray that you'd bring them to the point of coming off the fence and to make that choice, to make that decision and be willing to submit and to follow you, to trust you as their Saviour and their Lord. So bless your word to us. We thank you for the songs we've sung. Thank you for the being together and seeing each other. Would you go with us through the remainder of this day and out into the coming week, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. It's been lovely to see you this morning and I hope that that's been helpful. The services in general has been helpful for you.